स्पाइस रेडियो और रेडियो रूम जिम सुन रहे हैं। आप कपशप का प्रोग्राम है। हमारी घड़ियों में बाद दोपहर के 2:05 हुआ चाहते हैं। अब से लेकर 3 बजे तक आपका और हमारा साथ रहेगा हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में, जिसका नाम बड़े प्यार से हमने गपशप रखा है, क्योंकि इसमें वो सभी बातें जो आज आपकी नजरों में अटकेंगी, खटकेंगी और दिल में समाएंगी, उन सबको लेकर हम हाजिर हैं। ये बताते हुए कि बाहर का तापमान 16 डिग्री टेम्परेचर है सेल्सियस हमारे स्टूडियो के बाहर, और एज ऑलवेज अंदर का तापमान और भी अच्छा है, बिकॉज वी गॉट Mel Chaudhary with us today, and Mel is with Simpson Thomas and Associates, has come back from a great trip to Fiji, I understand.
Yes.
And he looks tanned. How are you doing?
I always look tan, though.
What is the secret of your tanness?
I'm brown.
I was born like that. when Sudhir was little, we'd ask him, how come you're so cute? And he would say, I was born like that.
That's a good answer.
Good answer.
And you probably took credit for that?
Yes, of course I did.
I'm doing well. So yeah. I went to Fiji.
After how many years?
About 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Culture shock?
It's kind of like what I expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, if you've been to like Dominican Republic, or you've been to, you know, those tropical type places, smaller places, it's kind of similar, all very similar, right?
Yes.
Like the shops and the roads and things like that. It was a lot of rain.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we went in the rain season.
Okay, you did go in the rainy season. Okay.
But they were saying it was more rain than usual.
Oh, so we are getting El Nino and they're getting El Nina. Whatever, the opposite.
Yeah, so, but it was really good because my kids got to see where their grandparents grew up and things like that.
So what city and towns did you visit?
Do you know Fiji very well?
Okay, let me just tell you the ones that I, Suva.
Yep.
And Nasuri. Nasuri.
Yeah.
And there's one more.
Oh, there's Nandi.
Nandi.
So we went to Denarau first,
okay,
which is like a port,
okay,
and they've got a nice little village there right along the water, mm-hmm. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. And then we went to another hotel, it's called Momi Bay, that's basically on itself, man-made bay. And then we went to Sigatoka,
okay,
and then we went to Pacific Harbor.
Wow.
Yeah, so the hotel we stayed at Pacific Harbor is actually the same hotel. Do you watch, I'm not going to admit this, somebody told me this,
yes,
do you watch The Bachelorette?
No.
Okay, yeah.
It's the same hotel.
That's where they did the hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see that because we were there, right?
Yeah, and the kids enjoyed it.
Yeah, they did. We went into the ocean. Can you imagine a warm ocean?
Oh, yeah, my God.
It felt so good.
Yeah, just getting into the ocean and it's not cold.
Yeah.
Over here, you have to get in there and it's cold and then you get warm.
Yeah.
Somehow.
And then the best meal is not going to be at the hotel.
No,
it's at these restaurants around.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we've had some really good food.
And so none of you got any bugs, stomach flu, or anything like that?
You know what? There was one night that I had some kava.
Yeah. Oh, you did have kava.
Yeah. So the kava usually will do something like that.
Yes.
So one night I was a bit off.
Yeah. So do you go into a trance or something like that when you drink that?
I didn't drink that much. It makes you very relaxed.
Yes. You are sort of like, okay, let's just all sit down and chat.
You become an islander.
That's right. So the Consul General, or was he the ambassador of Fiji, was here a few years ago. And Shivalaji, of course, you know, from Fiji, so she knew everybody. Mm-hmm. So we had to sit with them and drink out of their cup, from the same bowl of kava. And I just quietly got out and got out of the lineup and went and sat somewhere else. But everybody else did. But it's something that you do. And this was pre-COVID, by the way.
Right. And you feel rude if you don't, right?
I know.
It's part of their culture. But you're right. To. I mean, there are germs to worry about.
That's right.
So if you're not used to that, and probably not a good idea to do that usually. So
no, I very, very quietly got out.
Yeah.
And nobody noticed because everybody wanted to be right next to the big guy and his wife. So that was okay. We just got a couple of pictures taken with him. It was a very nice event. I mean, he was very gracious. So was his wife, by the way.
Yeah, it's very nice mannerisms. Like when you go to the island, it's very relaxed. People are usually pretty friendly. So it's kind of a very slow pace too.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the Indian influence on the native people of Fiji is huge because there's intermarriages there. And sometime back, the head of state was a guy of Indian origin.
Right, and then they had a coup.
Yes.
Which means you got like three guys going in with guns and
that's right.
Turn over the government.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's lots of Indians there.
Yeah.
So I want to say, somebody was telling me over 50% of the population is Indian.
Is Indian.
I was surprised by that because I didn't see a lot of Indians.
Really?
Or that many, I should say.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're at the hotel resorts, you're not going to see the locals as much. So,
no. Yeah. So it was all in all a great trip.
Yeah, and we went for a wedding as well.
Ah, and how are the weddings over there?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So basically, it's all going to be outdoors.
Mm.
And then they have metal sheets as roofs, like tents. So it rained a lot. So you can imagine the rain bouncing off of the metal
tin roof. Beautiful sound, though.
It was a beautiful sound. It was really soothing. Yeah, it was good.
Right, I bet. So was it an Indian wedding or was it a Western wedding?
It was an Indian wedding.
And so did they have the 9 yards of celebrations?
Yeah, so we didn't catch all of it because, you know, we're coming from abroad, right? But we went about 3 nights, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of soak up the local culture there, right?
Yes.
That gave Bea and the kids, my wife, a good opportunity to do that.
Have you ever been to India?
No, but it's on my list.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy India so much.
Yeah.
Because of the background that you've had from Fiji and the culture that you've seen here. And your Fiji culture is from your parents, and that is from a part which is not represented here in Vancouver, and that is Bihar and Uttar Pradesh, whereas majority of the Indians that you meet here are from Punjab.
Right.
And that's a small portion of India. But when you go to India, my God, you know, you will have a lot of fun.
When was the last time that you went?
2012. And prior to that, I used to go every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was there. So 2012 was a year in which I knew I was getting old, so I wanted to go and see all these religious places. And so you can't do them alone by yourself. You have to have another person with you. But of course, I don't think about things like that. So I just treaded on my own.
Yeah.
And I did the very first dham. You're supposed to do, as a Hindu, you're supposed to do 4 dhams, right?
Yeah.
So I just did one, which was in Odisha, and I promptly got sick, like huge sick. So I had to, I was in Rameshwaram, which is down south, and then I had to go to Bombay, and my childhood friend who lives in Bombay looked after me.
Oh, that's nice.
And nursed me back to health.
Good thing you have your friend there.
I know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, and then once my kids get a little bit older,
yes,
it's definitely a trip that we want to do. But I just
think
I need to have them at a point where they are comfortable with the heat,
yes,
crowds,
yes,
the walking, right?
And you don't have to go at the time when it is, you know, scorching hot. I mean, October to March are the best times to be in India. And I think it's one of the best places to take your kids and enjoy, you know. In today's program, I wanted to talk about an old Indian proverb which says, Neki kar kuen mein daal. Do something good for others and then forget about it. But I understand one can get into trouble by doing something good as well.
Well, so interesting segue.
Yes.
So what we've got in BC, I'm sure people have heard of this before, the Good Samaritan Law.
The Good Samaritan Law.
Okay. Mm. So the Good Samaritan Law basically means that if you, out of the kindness of your heart, see an emergency happening and you try to help somebody, but in the process, somehow you do more harm than good, the Good Samaritan Law says that you're not required to pay damages. It basically says, you know, your heart was in the right place.
Mm.
And for that reason, if you know, you try to do something, but it doesn't work out and you actually do more harm, you're not going to be held responsible for that.
Oh, that's a very good topic. I want to talk a lot about that because you must have a lot of stories on that.
And then something that's very similar
is
called the duty to rescue. So now that's the opposite.
Oh.
So that means that if you see somebody, in trouble and you don't help them, then you can get in trouble.
Holy mackerel. I mean, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Two very interesting topics. Mel is here till 3 o'clock. And any of these topics interest you and you want to ask questions or give your opinion, give us a call. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. Spice Radio, Radio Rim Jim Sundry, Kap Chap Kap program hai. Aur aaj humare saath Mel Chaudhary hai, jo ki Simpson, Thomas and Associates ke saath taluk rakhte hai. Aur amuman hum ya to ICBC ya family law ke baare mein baat karte hai. And today we're talking about the Good Samaritan Law.
So, you know where this kind of comes up and where I thought about it for the first time? So, Seinfeld.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure there's lots of Seinfeld fans.
Fans, right? Oh, yes.
I'm a huge fan. Mm. And then their last episode, so the whole series finale, basically what happened, the crew, so George, Seinfeld, yeah. Kramer, all of them, Elaine, they went to this small town in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
They had to go for some reason.
Right.
So they go there, and it's a very small town. They're looking across the street, and somebody's being mugged, robbed.
Mm.
And, you know, these guys are, instead of helping, they think about it, say, no, we don't want to get dirty. We don't want
to get involved.
Sweaty. Yeah.
Yes.
And then instead of helping, they start making fun of him.
Oh, my God.
And laughing. So what ended up happening is they all got put into jail. So that, you know, that's sometimes referred to as the Good Samaritan Law. It's more properly described as a duty to rescue. So that's where my idea came up. That's yes. kind of a really interesting topic, right?
Yeah. So do we have that law here?
We actually do.
Oh, and our law says?
Yeah. Who would have even heard of it, right?
No. Yeah. I did not know that there was a law like that.
So basically, there's a legislation here in BC.
Yes.
And what it says is a Good Samaritan, so somebody who, you know, doesn't know somebody or they're just come across this accident or something along those lines, if they go out of their way and they try to help somebody in that situation, then they're not going to be held liable in case they do something to make somebody more injured.
So say, for example, the same case as Seinfeld. Someone is being mugged. So they run to save that person. And in process of doing that, sort of, you know, maybe hurt the person who is being mugged.
Right.
So they will not be found.
Yeah.
Or if someone is having a heart attack and they try to give them CPR or, you know, heart pump and all that.
Kind of something that comes up to mind, right? Is let's say somebody has a really bad injury and they're lying on the ground.
Right.
What do we always hear? We hear don't move them.
That's
maybe
right.
Maybe there's a spinal injury or something along those lines. So this is the kind of situation where this could be affected.
Right.
Now there is exception. The exception is if you're grossly negligent. Okay. What does that mean?
Grossly negligent.
Yeah. So it means you do something that's so crazy that no one would even think to do that.
Yes.
And you do it in a way where you're reckless. Like you don't really think too hard about trying, you know, is this going to help the person or is it going to make them worse, right?
Mm.
So we actually have a law called the Good Samaritan Law.
And if you are reckless and you try to help them, then you are...
Then you could be on the hook.
On the hook. Otherwise, you're not on the hook.
That's right. So, and then there's exceptions too. So for example, if someone is paid to help, then it doesn't apply to them.
I see.
And the reason it's a different standard, right? You're gaining financially because that's your job.
Yeah.
So why should there be an exemption for you? So this Good Samaritan Law, if you think about it, it's meant to try to encourage people to get involved in society, to help out your neighbors, help out people that you see in trouble or distress. Right? So that's the whole purpose behind it. So let me ask you this question. What do you think about that law?
You know, for a country that is very polite to everyone but does not want to stick their nose in anybody's business, I don't think this law applies to us.
Because no one bothers?
No one bothers.
That's a good point.
They think that by me trying to help might be an intrusion.
Yeah. And then...
And how do you feel?
I think it's better to have the law than not have the law.
Yeah, you as a lawyer would think that.
Us lawyers with our thoughts, huh?
Yeah, totally different. Man, you know, you guys come up with things that I can't even imagine in my own dreams.
Okay, so think about it this way. Somebody, I see somebody who's hurt and they're just lying on the ground.
Right, what would you do?
So if I think to myself, well, if I try to help them and they get more injured, that might discourage people to help. This law encourages people to help, right? So I don't see a downside for it.
Okay, so let me just sort of change the scenario.
I knew you were going to do that.
Okay. And ask you a question.
Sure.
Okay, there's a person who is hurt and on the floor, on the ground, and you're passing by it, and you stop, and you think, oh my God, what's going on? Would you get out to examine the situation and see if this person maybe is overdosing, or maybe somebody hit, and it's a hit and run? Or would you just pick up the phone and dial 911?
I think I would do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll get out and have a look at the situation. And if that person was high on something, you'd just leave them there?
That's a tough question. See? Because now what we're dealing with is we're dealing with, you know, maybe somebody has an addiction problem.
Yes.
But also there's an element of...
violence.
Yeah, there could be an element of violence, depending on the drugs. I think in that situation, I would kind of monitor it.
Right.
And I would be careful. So I, if they were in such a state where they needed help, but I can see that maybe there's might be some violence there, then what I would do is I would call somebody. But it's hard to tell, isn't it?
It is. So I'm going to give you an example that happened with me, and I was sort of upset with myself for doing whatever I did. So I am in the heart of Currytown, which is Surrey. I meant Surrey. There was a pun there. Anyway, so I am there and I'm driving and it's getting a little, darker. So I pass by this woman who's carrying a lot of stuff and I must have just slowed down. And so she took that as an indicator that I was going to help her. So she put her hand out, put some of her bags down and put her hand out. So I stopped. And I opened the window on the passenger side and she said, I just need to go just a block away. Can you please drop me?
Are you sure she didn't think you were an Uber driver?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
She just said it to me in Punjabi and she said, I just live two blocks away. Can you please, somebody was supposed to come and pick me up. They haven't. And I don't know whether they're going to come or not. Will you drop me? So I said to her, whereabouts is it? It's just two blocks from here. So I looked at her stuff and I thought, older woman stuff. So I said, who was supposed to come? Can you give me their number and I'll call them?
Yeah.
And she said, no, just drop me there. I have the key. Just drop me there. So I said, okay. Okay. So she got all her bags. It was so many bags and they were very heavy. Mm-hmm. So I had to put them in the back seat as well. And we went for like about 4 or 5 miles away from there. just right here, just two blocks there. And I thought to myself, and then the other problem that I have is that I'm very sensitive to smell.
Yeah.
And if there is any kind of smell, food smell or any other smell, I get a headache. So, and then I just took her to the place that she wanted to go to. Eventually we got there after about half an hour.
Wow, it's a long drive.
Yeah, it was a long drive. But we were driving slowly because I wasn't sure, because I was going for only two blocks. And then I thought to myself, never again.
Yeah, so you probably feel like you've been taken advantage of.
Yeah, so I said I'm cured of helping people.
Yeah, that's a tough, something like that happens, it's too bad because it does discourage you.
Yeah, I did feel sorry for her because she really was carrying all the groceries with her.
Yeah.
And then when she got out, she wasn't extra apologetic. Oh. She just said, thank you.
Like you're an Uber driver.
Yeah. and then that's it. Thank you. She said, thank you. And she went to the house.
So I've got a story too.
Yes.
So we went in the summertime in Kelowna. On the way back, so this is like after a week.
Yeah.
We're driving back. We're
on the highway.
Highway 1. Mm. And I think it must have been around Chilliwack, something along there, Abbotsford, somewhere around there. And there's a person beside us. The car is kind of going back and forth a little bit. And then it starts to veer towards the right. And then there was some kind of blockade there, like a obstruction. So she hit that a couple of times. And then she ended up going in the bushes with her vehicle.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we thought, oh, boy, something must have, you know, maybe she fell asleep.
Right.
We don't know what happened.
Mm.
And my wife was really worried. She thought she got injured really badly.
Mm.
So to the point where she was a little bit, you know, emotional about it,
right.
seeing it right in front of her eyes. So we had to pull around the highway, and then we came back, and we called the police.
Mm.
And I think the police said that it's likely she was drinking. But they didn't have any chain of custody. So basically, because we didn't see her the whole time, it's possible that she had a couple of drinks after the accident. So the police said, well, you know, there's no chain of custody. No one saw her the whole time and you didn't observe her after the accident.
Mm.
Maybe she could have had a couple of drinks there. So it's kind of interesting, right? But then we're thinking about it. We want to help her. We're worried about her. On the other hand, I've got my family in the vehicle.
That's right.
If she didn't veer right,
if she veered left, would have hit you guys.
Could have hit us. Mm. High speed, highway speed. That could have been some serious injuries.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, that's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863. Here's a question to all our listeners who are waiting to pick up their beautiful kids from school and are thinking, ha, I got to go home now and cook, or I have to go home and do this. So if you saw someone who needed your help, because, you know, when you are driving and someone is hitching a ride, usually you're told not to give them a ride. Would you do that? Or if you see someone who is in a very bad state, would you help them? That's a question. And let's just see what you would think, right? And does the Good Samaritan law apply to you all as well? 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Spice Radio, Radio Ramicham Sundra, aapka shab ka program hai. Mel Chaudhary aaj humare saath hai, Simpson Thomas and Associates ki taraf se. Now, I know that, you know, from the beginning, whenever we talk about Simpson Thomas and Associates, and I like your new cards as well.
Thank you.
Pretty interesting. You guys have two offices, one in Vancouver and a bigger one in Surrey.
Yeah, our main office is actually in Surrey.
Yes.
And it's right across from Surrey Memorial Hospital.
Right.
In CC3.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good space there. And, you know, we've been doing ICBC work for a long time.
Right.
We do personal injury of all sorts.
Right.
So that includes slip and falls, or, you know, I had a case where glass fell on a client.
Wow.
So there was a settlement for that. So there's all sorts of cases. There's employment law.
Right.
Family law for
family
me now,
law.
Which you've already mentioned.
That's right.
Insurance denials. You know, so if you've got insurance coverage and critical illness, for example.
Mm.
So what happens is if there's a number of conditions listed, if you have that and a doctor says you have it, then you should get a lump sum payment.
Mm.
And sometimes insurance companies deny on that. Surprisingly, right?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking about critical illness with Anita Dalakoti this last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And if people have that and segregated funds, etc., and we were just talking about that. So can you imagine being denied for a case? We've got a caller on line four. Hopefully it's one of those questions. Line four, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
So far, so good.
Good, caller. I'm glad you called.
Thanks. I have a question for you. How you can sue ICBC? Okay, the scenario, I'll give you the scenario.
Okay.
I think a couple of years ago, there was a big rainfall here. There were a lot of puddles, ponds that on the road that you were driving. And I was driving on a Trapper Avenue in Burnaby, and I didn't know that there's a ditch. I mean, there's a, you know, ditch.
Pothole.
Pothole. So I drove over because of water, you can see it. There was like a 3-4 feet of water in on the road. So anyways, so my the front end went inside the water, and the water came in, and it went into the engine, it went all over the inside my car too. So they totaled the car, And that after that, they said, okay, we're going to total this. And they gave me the money. And when I went to get insurance, they said, your insurance is going to go up 30%. I go, for what? They said, you had an accident there. I go, no, I didn't. That was an accident. That was like I fell in a pothole that, you know.
Okay, so your question is,
they told me that, you know, we can't do anything. You have to sue the Burnaby city for that. But when I talked to somebody in ICBC, they said, one of my friends works for ICBC. He said that, no, that's not your job. They shouldn't charge you for the, hold you responsible for the damage. The ICBC is supposed to sue the Burnaby city for that damage. So I don't know which one is true. Can you tell me how I can sue ICBC for that?
Yeah. So how that would work is ICBC would not sue Burnaby for you. You would have to sue the city of, if it happened in Burnaby, it's the city of Burnaby, right? So yeah, you would have to do that separately. And then, of course, for that, it's a very unusual situation you just described, right? So I think the argument might be that if the natural, you know, roadway and the water was through nature, and then you drove into it, so that's probably an issue where, you know, that's where you're not completely covered. You know what I mean? Like, they'll pay for your damage to your vehicle, get it repaired, but that affects your premiums. So,
but I don't understand why should his premium be affected. He didn't deliberately do it. It was there, and he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
If you can't see something, it's not your fault.
No. Leave it to the caller to come up with an issue that I dealt with maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, did you really?
Something like that, yeah. But it was a little bit different. So basically, caller, just kind of work with me here. We'll just kind of talk about what I went through. So there was a case where somebody was driving on the highway, I think to Whistler. And essentially what happened is a rock slide. So a similar sort of thing happened. And the whole case depended on if the rock was already on the roadway or if it was falling while he was still in motion. And that made a difference. Very similar to what you're just saying. So I think it depends on if something was already there and you drove into it, versus you driving and as you're in motion, something coming up on you. So they make that distinction in their insurance policy. And I haven't looked at it, like I said, for about 10 years. But I remember that's the distinction. That's the difference. Basically, you driving into something that's already there, maybe to be seen, or, you know, there that you can avoid, versus something that you can't avoid. So I think maybe something like that applies in your case, and why they're saying there's some element of fault because you've driven into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there was that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then a tow truck came and pulled me over.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, after that, I saw another driver who had a 5-ton.
Yeah.
And he fell in the same ditch. So nobody knew that there was a ditch there.
Yeah.
With the water. But the thing is, my insurance is with the ICBC, not Burnaby, city of Burnaby.
Right.
So I'm paying it through ICBC, my insurance. They're supposed to sue the city, not me.
No, that's not true. So what happens, just to explain that, they provide you with coverage under certain situations, right? So one situation, if you think about ICBC, they always want to go after somebody for extra premiums. If there's no one to go after for extra premiums, who is there? This is just you, right? So that's how their policies are usually written. So I think that's what's happened there. So insurance coverage just says under certain circumstances, we'll give you money. It doesn't say that they're going to go after somebody else to, you know, to cover your loss. So it's a little bit different than that. But you know that. But you raise an interesting point about suing the city, right? And how you do that.
So basically you're telling me ICBC is a scam, big scam, right?
I didn't say that.
I mean, it seems like it's a scam because two people have an accident.
Yeah.
They said, like, you know, they are both arguing it's his fault.
Yeah.
And then ICBC goes, okay, we're going to do 50-50.
Yeah.
So they raise both 30% when they're supposed to raise only 30% to 1% if somebody is guilty, or if the both are, they're supposed to raise 15 each, but if they raise 30 for both, that means it is scam.
You know what? You understand how insurance premiums work very well.
Thank you so much, caller. Yeah,
because that's how it happens. Okay. You're right.
Take care.
So just to kind of go back on what the caller is talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, so if somebody is more than the percentage, I think 25% at fault,
right?
And there's two people,
yeah.
Then even if you're at least 25% at fault, your premiums are likely going to go up.
Going to go up. Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. Line five. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead. Hi there, line five. I think they hung up. Line five, did you hang up? Yes, I think they hung up. The line is still live. Line five? Okay.
Maybe they'll give us a call back.
They will give a call back.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we were talking about Good Samaritan.
Yes.
Right? So I kind of explained that basically what that means is if you try to do something good, there shouldn't be a penalty against you.
Right.
Except for gross negligence.
Right.
Now, the other end of that is a law which says you have to do something if you see somebody in trouble. We don't have that law. So a law saying that you're standing there, you observe somebody in trouble, and you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Then you will be in trouble.
Yeah. So we don't have that obligation. We don't have that law here.
But Seinfeld's entire group had that law.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was just reading up on it too on the internet.
Yes.
It's a very high level. Apparently some places in the U.S. have that.
Wow.
But they just don't enforce it.
Oh, okay.
No one knows about it, and they don't enforce it.
So if nobody knows about it and you're, if nobody knows about it, nobody's going to talk about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of an interesting concept, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's like, so the law is there to change society, right? Like that's, it's a possibility, it's a mode of changing society.
Right.
So for example, if you want to stop people from drinking and driving, tougher laws on drinking and driving, right? So if you want to encourage people to help others, is it a good idea, and this is good for the listeners maybe to call in and give us some feedback, is it a good idea to impose punishment if you don't help out somebody who really needs help?
Well, if someone wants to drink and ruin their own liver, how can I stop? Say, for example, I have a party at my house and I am not serving alcohol. But because I'm not serving, I don't serve alcohol. People know that. So they're going to bring their own alcohol and they drink and then they drive. I have nothing to do with it.
No, I think where this would apply is more so if there was an emergency that came up.
Ah.
Let's say somebody, but there's so many issues with it.
But there are issues with this too then.
There's lots of issues.
Because, yes.
Because to what extent do you have to put yourself in danger?
Yes.
Right? And is it fair to require someone to put themselves in danger for somebody else? Keeping in mind, let's say somebody's got young kids at home, right? Or they've got people that depend on them. And they're putting themselves at risk. So I don't know. I don't know how you draw that line. So most places, the way you draw that line is you don't have that law.
Because it's not that stark, black and white.
Yeah.
That's why nobody knows about it, and that's why they don't make it very public.
Yeah.
Because there is a gray area in there.
Yeah. So even though there's no written law in black and white about that duty, it does actually exist in some circumstances.
Even here?
So a positive duty to do something when you see somebody in trouble.
Yes.
But it's more detailed than that.
Right.
It depends on what your relationship is.
Oh, okay.
And I'll give you an example.
Yes.
Parent-child.
Yes.
There's an obligation there. You're in the in that role where you're having to look after the needs of your child.
Mm.
And if you don't do that, there could be some repercussions for that.
I agree with that.
Another situation is, let's say you're an employer and, some risk is created through work and you're not looking after the safety of your employees.
Right.
So there is some law there where it does impose some positive obligations. It's not written black and white for the most part. It's called common law, right? It's negligence.
Right. We're going to take a very short commercial break and come back. There was a caller who called us earlier, and we really do like listening to their questions and their concerns. So if you want to give us a call back, please do so. We'll be right back with Mel. Is going to be here till 3 o'clock with us. Spice Radio or Radio Room, Jim Sundra, you are listening to program. Mel Chaudhary is with us, Simpson Thomas and Associates. And we were talking about the Good Samaritan law. And then you brought up another law. And in that, there are some places in the U.S. that if you see something happening and you are a passerby or you're standing nearby, you are supposed to help. And if you don't supposed to help, you can be held in contempt.
No. Some type of penalty.
Yeah. Some sort of a penalty, yeah. Okay, so here's a silly situation, mugging, like the one that was in Seinfeld, for example.
Right.
But the guy has got a knife, and I can see that the person is going to be mugged or is going to be hurt. I alone cannot help. So say, for example, I'm in that jurisdiction where I'm supposed to help, mm-hmm. and I cannot. I fear for my life. Would I still be charged?
No, I wonder in a situation like that, yeah. I have to actually look up a law where they actually have that somewhere, but it's the U.S. law, right?
Yes.
So I think they probably would do something like require you to call the police.
Or you have a gun, or you have a gun. I wouldn't go to a person who's got a gun.
Yeah.
And go back and go, okay, you first let me get rid of you.
No.
Or knife.
Yeah, so that's the problem with that type of law.
Yes.
You don't know, you're encouraging people to go and help.
Yes.
But what may end up happening is people are worried about the law. They go and jump in.
Yes.
And something negative happens to them.
Now, there's a case that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I thought, you know what, it's probably interesting to, like, we talk about these laws.
Yes.
And it's kind of, we don't talk about specific examples. So with cases, it's more about specific examples.
Right.
And it has to deal with the Good Samaritan law.
Okay.
So this was a case that happened back in 1992, mm-hmm. Birch versus Wiltz. Mm. So it must have been like in a rural area, like an area that's not very busy. Mm. And this person apparently was riding a horse. And somebody came across them, seeing that they had fallen, and they were not responsive. Mm. So they were still breathing, but they were just on the ground in the middle of a highway.
Unconscious, yeah.
Yeah, in the middle of a highway. Probably like a two-lane highway, one lane each way, right?
Right?
Small town. So this person comes, they park their vehicle, they see the person, they assess them, they put on their flashers, and then they know the person. So they take the horse, and they ride the horse to the person's property.
Mm.
And maybe they didn't have a cell phone, probably back then in 92, right?
Mm.
So they ride the horse back to the person's property. Now, instead of, you know, just telling the wife quickly and calling the police, I think he put the horse away. Mm. But it didn't take a lot of time.
Mm.
But he basically put the horse where it should be and, you know, tied it up so it wouldn't run around. And then he went and saw the wife and told the wife, this is what's happened.
Mm.
And then he was on his way back.
Mm.
But in the meantime, you've got this person on the highway.
Mm.
I think it's probably dark out.
Mm.
So the person who did this, the Good Samaritan, probably thought, you know, no one comes on this highway. It's one of those places.
Mm.
So he puts his flashers on and he leaves the person there. And then this other person comes along.
Yeah.
On that same highway.
Right.
They see the vehicle and they're intelligent. They pull over. Mm. They think something's wrong here.
Mm.
Okay. So now you've got an empty vehicle and the standard, you know, passerby comes and sees this person on the ground.
Mm.
They think that the person who's driving got out and is on the ground.
Right.
So now this person puts his vehicle flashers on. And somebody else is coming along the highway.
Right. Okay, the third person now.
Yeah, and this person is coming right for this, you know, innocent person who's pulled over and is trying to get their attention to make sure they don't hit him or this person on the ground.
Mm.
So he's waving, he's being, you know, frantically trying to get their attention.
Mm.
Nothing.
Mm.
And the person just keeps driving straight.
And hits him.
Well, he jumped out of the way.
Okay.
But guess who he hits? He hits the person who's on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it says in the decision that he drove over the person. So, and then the claim is for damages, right? For what this person's gone through. And one of the people that it's alleged against. So I think what happened is the person who hit, who actually drove right into the person, then tried to get and make an argument that the person who went off with the horse is partially responsible. Because basically saying, well, you know, you left a person on the ground, middle of the road. And did you really need to go and tie the horse?
Yeah.
Did you really need to go and talk to the wife?
Yeah.
Why not just get to a phone, call the ambulance, come back?
Yeah.
Right? It didn't work. The judge said, well, you know, in the circumstances, it's out in the middle of nowhere. They didn't think anybody would come. And it's the Good Samaritan law. Wow. This person tried to help. So basically the judge said, well, the Good Samaritan Act applies.
And
they're not responsible. What do you think about that? Do you think that they should be partly at fault for some damages or no?
Was the guy who eventually killed the person, he of course was held responsible, I hope.
Yes.
He was.
Yeah.
But he wanted the other two to be...
See, this is one thing you got to realize about the law.
Yeah.
A lot of times about fault,
yes,
it's not necessarily the person who's injured.
Hmm.
It's the people that are sued, and they're looking for help from others to pay the damages.
Hmm.
So you would think, oh, this person is involved in this lawsuit.
Hmm.
It must be the innocent party, the victim, sued them, right?
No.
That's not the case.
Okay.
One of the defendants is trying to share the fault with other people. So they're bringing other people into it.
So who was the one who sued the guy who, was it the wife?
So the wife sued the person who drove right into everybody,
okay.
Right, or into this poor person.
Right.
That person who drove into this individual is the one who then brought a suit against the Good Samaritan. Right?
Yeah, so that was then shot.
Yeah, and the judge said, no, I'm not having any of that.
I would agree with the judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this person is trying to help.
Yeah,
right?
the person's heart is in the right place.
Yeah, maybe they could have done things a little bit differently.
Yes, yes. But if it was today's day and age, he would have just stood there and called, 911.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a phone or...
I'm assuming. Okay,
yes.
You tell me, 1992, was there a phone? Probably not.
Well, 1992, I used to have my very first cell phone I bought was a Motorola phone.
Yeah.
And that was... Well, no, not in 1992, because we'd just come into this building and we used to have the big phones, big honking phone.
Right.
Yeah, that I had to plug into the car.
Yeah, so my dad had one of those.
Yes.
Because I think he was building a house.
Yes.
So he needed to have a phone on him.
Right.
And it was huge. It looked, like, it looked like a couple of bricks.
That's right.
Right?
It was called the brick phone.
Yeah.
And I remember the very first time I saw that phone was Ted Rogers. He's the one who introduced it.
Yeah. And I think it was around that time, 1992.
Hmm.
So that's just when it first started coming out, those phones.
Yes.
And now I'm holding my little iPhone.
Yeah, I know.
We've come a long way that.
We have in 30 years.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, what a beautiful and interesting law that you brought in to talk about today. I just find it very, very fascinating.
Yeah, and I should look up some specifics about these small towns.
Right.
And then we should go visit these small towns.
There is a program called Still Standing, and it's a CBC program. And it's about all these small towns in Canada that have had the boom, whether it was lumber or gold or, you know, silver. And then the boom goes, and then the town is just like a ghost town. But there's still...
Some people
living there. And how do they make their living? How do they reinvent themselves? It's a beautiful program. It's called Still Standing.
And then I guess the other question is, if everything is gone from there,
just
these people,
why
is it that they choose to stay there?
Exactly.
There must be a reason, something driving them.
Always a reason.
Yeah.
And always either the place is so beautiful and it got raped and pillaged by, you know, environmental people who don't care about our environment.
People wanting all the resources and not putting anything back.
Anything back into it, you know. So mostly it's usually places like that.
Yeah. So Palm Springs, I don't know. Have you been to Palm Springs?
Yes, I have.
So there's a town that's been abandoned there. Have you heard about that one?
No, I haven't.
So basically, it was a man-made community.
Right.
I can't remember the name right now. But what ended up happening is there was some structural issues.
Ah.
And there's a man-made lake.
Mm.
So basically, everybody had to leave. And some people went in and started living in there. And it's not a great neighborhood now, as you can imagine. Like people going in and living for free.
Right.
But same sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a community where it was abandoned.
Yes.
And people just went in, and you've got a few people there.
And you make your home there.
Yeah.
Hey, it was a lovely show. And I'm glad that you went to Fiji and came back with rejuvenated your entire thinking.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. And it's definitely worthwhile doing something like that.
With that, we come to the end of our show. So we'll see you next month.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Stay tuned for the Drive Home Grind with DJ Flight and Maya right here on Spice Radio, and your requests on Radio Rim Jim with Nutan. And Mel, thank you for being in the studios.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We'll see you tomorrow, and Sadhana will be here to do your tarot and numerology.